The theme of this year's annual American Public Health Association conference, held in Atlanta last month from November 4th through the 8th, was climate change and health. The keynote speaker was an indigenous woman from northern Alberta, Canada, who's helping to lead the fight against tar sands extraction. Several of the conference panel discussions dealt with indigenous community concerns regarding the changing climate and actions they're taking to confront these changes. For centuries, Native Americans have relied on natural resources to sustain their families, communities, traditional ways of life, and cultural identities. This relationship with both land and water makes indigenous people and cultures particularly vulnerable to the impacts of climate change. Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus attended the American Public Health Association conference and spoke with April Taylor, a sustainability scientist with the Chickasaw Nation, who works at the South Central Climate Science Center in Norman, Oklahoma. In the following interview, Taylor describes her job assisting 68 tribes across New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma, and Louisiana manage and plan for the many environmental impacts of climate change, including issues such as tribal water rights, sea level rise, flooding, droughts, and wildfires.
The way I explain my job is I do three things. One, I'm a matchmaker. So I am out engaged with tribal staff of various types, and I matchmake them with climate scientists and researchers to work together on projects and go after funding to plan for the impacts they're seeing in their communities already for climate change and what they might see in the future. The second aspect is we do trainings. We build tribal capacity. We've done 32 trainings in the last four and a half years. And they're on all sorts of things, including grant writing, data and tools, and how to find the right information and resources to developing the plans for their communities. And then the third aspect is we do youth outreach, so promoting Native students in STEM fields, creating our next generation of tribal staff.
You mentioned, I think, four states that you cover, and some of them I know have had huge climate impacts, including, you know, what is being described as the first U.S. climate refugees, a small tribe in Louisiana.
I just wrote a piece for the National Climate Assessment on the Louisiana tribes. We've done quite a bit of trainings and networking down in Louisiana. It's really interesting to see them doing this relocation in their own way. They're moving their entire community. It's really cool to see that they want to do that, and it's sort of bringing them closer together. A lot of those communities, you know, they've lived on the coast for a very long time and were forced out to those areas.
This is Ile de Saint-Charles? Did I get that right?
But there are other communities out there as well. There's Pointe Aux Chênes. Chittimacca is out there as well. Chittimacca is really leading the way in the scientific aspect and mapping out their sea level rise and making their plans. Huma tribe is out there as well, the Huma Nation, and they're very active and aware of climate change. And we have the Cushata tribe. They're going to be impacted as well, even though they're very far up on the mainland right now. I work with more of the scientist or planners type people. It's not uncommon that we get, especially in those communities that are being impacted now, that you get leadership involved. Our last training was in May, and it's really interesting. I mean, you get community members, you get Native church people that come in for these trainings because they're interested. They want to know what's happening and what are they dealing with.
Is it mostly sea level rise and flooding? Are there other issues related to climate change that you're seeing in the tribes you work with?
Drought. Several of the tribes are doing drought planning. Wind River just finished theirs. Chickasaw Nation is waiting for the final approval to finish ours. And they're really leading the way and taking the leads before the states and before what's required. They're not required to do drought planning, but they're doing these things. Wildfires is another huge one. Loss of water resources and tribal water rights is a big one. So we're not seeing the stream flows or the snowmelt. These communities are seeing these changes. We're seeing changes in species and how species are being, and cultural significant species. and how they're changing already. And so some of these species that they rely on, what's happening is what we call, and there's an indigenous phenology network. And phenology is basically the timing of the seasons and when things change. And so they're seeing some of those changes happening, you know, months earlier. And so they're trying to figure out if what that means for their culture, for the communities. Do we change the ceremony and things like that? For my tribe, we have a butterfly restoration project as well. So there are 7 tribes doing butterfly restoration, trying to help the species adapt.
That was April Taylor, a sustainability scientist with the Chickasaw Nation in Oklahoma. Learn more about how indigenous communities are building capacity to confront the issues of climate change by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.